Okay, you're going to think. Think. You in the men's group yesterday in the afternoon? Okay. John gave us a verse. Remember what the verse was? We started at the afternoon. He started out with a verse. The verse was supposed to be the key to the whole thing. Colossians 2:6. You know what Colossians 2:6 says? Says Colossians 2:6. Key to the whole thing, you know. And we don't even know what the verse was. Isn't that good? She'll read it. Okay. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. Okay? That's what it says, isn't it? That's what we're supposed to do. So you have a job right now. Write down how you receive Him as Lord. Write that down for me. How did you receive Him as Lord? Because that's key. Okay? You got it figured out already? Okay. You're having to think already, aren't you? And that's a hard thing, isn't it? You say, thanks a lot for that song last night. That was wonderful. And you did it together. You know? And you had joy while you're doing it. I mean, that was good. Makes me look like what up there when I'm singing. See, but I'm okay with that because you have what you have and I have what I have. Isn't that good? That's right. That's good. Okay. What did you say? You asked. Okay. What did you say?
Faith.
What did you say?
I received Him by accepting Him.
You received Him by accepting Him. Okay. What did you say? Okay, now this says, as you receive Him, so walk. So what was your answer?
I received Him by accepting Him.
You're going to walk by accepting Him and walking like Him. Okay, what did you say?
Faith.
So you're going to walk by faith. Whatever that is. Okay, and you?
I ask.
I'm going to walk by asking. I'm going to keep asking. Asking. I'm walking by asking. That's how I'm going to walk. What did you put down?
Salvation by grace through faith.
So I'm going to walk by grace through faith. I'm going to walk by grace through faith. Okay? Did I get yours? Got yours? Did I get yours? What's yours?
Mine was asking.
Asking. So I'm asking. Okay. So now, whatever I put there, this verse says that's the way to do it. Some people said, how'd you become a Christian? I went forward in a meeting. So I walk by going forward in meetings. Another person said, I raised my hand in a meeting. So I walk by raising my hand in meetings. According to this. Okay? Another person said, I threw myself upon the bed and prayed. So I walk by throwing myself up on the bed and praying. Okay? Whatever they say, whatever you say, that's it. So now, there's a common thing, pretty much, in what each of you said. What is the common thing? What did each of you do?
Took action.
Okay. You did that. You took action. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. What does that tell me to do?
Examine myself.
And then do what? Okay? And then what I do? Test. And I might fail the test, right? So I have a little deal. I say on this sheet here, I say, write down what you did to obtain eternal life. And they write it down on this sheet. Okay? Then the next sheet. I say, you've written down what you had did to obtain eternal life. Put an X before the blank of the statement that pertains to what you wrote. Number one, I was consciously claiming a promise in the Bible. Now, you didn't say that. You didn't say that. You didn't say that. You didn't say that. You didn't. Now, you may have been doing that, but that's not what you said. You didn't say, you say you became a Christian by claiming a promise in the Bible. You didn't say that. Now, you did that, but you didn't say that. The next one is, if I can't say I was consciously claiming a promise, the next one is, I was not consciously claiming a promise, but what I did matches a condition of a promise in the Bible. So did what I do match a condition of a promise in the Bible so that I could become a Christian? If you can't knock that one, then the next one says, I don't know whether what I did matches a condition of the promise in the Bible or not. So the person looks at what they wrote and they said, I don't know if what I did matches a promise. I don't even know what promises are in there. The next one. I believed in Jesus as my Savior, but I didn't relate what I did to a promise in the Bible. Most of them do that. Most people accept Jesus as their Savior, but while they're doing it, they're not relating it to a promise in the Bible that they know about. They don't understand it that way. Now, the next one says, what I did had nothing to do with the Bible. See? So they get to pick a choice. Okay? Then on the next page, God promises us eternal life. And this is the promise that he had promised to us, even eternal life, 1 John 2:25. God commands me to examine myself of whether I have eternal life or not. Tests imply standards. Standards that can be used to measure something against. Tests imply questions. Questions whose answers can be checked against a standard. For example, if my medical doctor tests my blood pressure and says it's too high, I can say I feel fine. I'm okay. Or I can believe him because he is using a normal blood pressure of a healthy person as a standard to check against me. He knows the correct standard is, if I go by my own standard how I feel, I can have disastrous results. Would that be right? When I examine myself to see whether or not I have eternal life, I check what I have done in order to have eternal life against a standard that tells me what I must do to have eternal life. So here's a standard that God says I must do to have eternal life. Here is, and I look at that and I check it out. There are all kinds of standards. My neighbor's standard, my church's standard, my friend's standard. God has his standard. Because God is the final judge of whether or not I have eternal life, and I want his judgment to be, yes, you do have eternal life, I choose to use his standard. I check what I have done to have eternal life against what God says I must do to have eternal life. If the two match, I pass the test. If they don't match, I fail the test. Right? Okay. In order to check what I have done against God's standard for having eternal life, I must look at the Bible that tells me what to do. Each Bible verse below contains a promise and a condition that must be fulfilled to receive the promise. The condition is God's standard. Each verse underlined the condition once and put two lines under the result of fulfilling the condition. So I have John 1:12. Look at John 1:12. you look at John 1:12 and 13, now you'll be familiar with these verses. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Okay, what's the condition of this promise? Receive him and believe. Very good. That's a condition. What is the result of fulfilling the condition? Yeah, what's the result of receiving him and believing on him? Okay, right? I'm born of God, right? Okay. So there is the promise. I see what my response is, and I see what the result of the promise is. Got that? Okay, let's look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is the condition on this promise? I believe on him. What is the result of that condition? I won't perish, but I'll have eternal life. You got that? The next one, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. What is the condition of that verse? John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me has everlasting life, will not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So what condition do I fulfill in this promise? I hear the word. I believe on him that sent. Okay? So I hear and believe. Now what's the result of that promise? Everlasting life. What else? Out of judgment. And what else? I pass from death to life. That's the promise. So if I hear the word of God and believe, okay, I'll have everlasting life, I won't be condemned, and I'm going from death to life. That's the promise. Okay, Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That's Acts 10:43. Okay, now on this one, what is the condition? Whoever believes on him, what is the result of that promise? I have remission of sins. So, here is a promise. I fulfill a condition and I get the results. I fulfill the condition and I get the results. Now that is how, as you receive Christ Jesus Lord, that's how I receive him as Lord. I receive him as Lord by claiming a promise. I claim a promise by doing the conditions of the promise. Now, yesterday in our workshop, we didn't cover that, and that's okay. But if I'd ask each person in that workshop to write down how they became a Christian, or how, as you received him as Lord, I'd have gotten all kinds of different answers. All kinds of answers. And that's who they are. But we become and we receive him as Lord by claiming a promise. That's the way we receive him as Lord. Now, I'm going to give you a little handout here. There you go. Sure. Now, I'll have extras of these so you can write on them. And this will be so good that you'll want to use it in your Sunday school class or your parents, with your children. And you'll want to, you can have one too. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Okay. Now, we did John 1:12. See, and then on here, I'm looking at my condition. God's promise, my response, and result. What is God's promise here? We had John 1, 12, and 13. That was the promise. My condition is this promise. This is speaking to. What was my condition that this promise is speaking to? In this verse. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? Children of God. Okay. So my condition is, I am not a child of God. Now I'm asking you to think here. Most places you go, they tell you, they don't ask you to think. I'm asking you to think. This verse is talking about a person that isn't a child of God. As many as receive him, I receive him. The result is, I am a child of God. Okay? That's claiming a promise. Okay, the next one we had was John 3:16. So we go through here. In John 3:16. What's John 3:16 talking to? And yeah, okay, a non-believer. What is the condition of that non-believer according to John 3:16? Very good. I'm perishing. My condition is I'm perishing. And what else? What does the verse say? I'll not perish, but have. So I do not have everlasting life. That's my condition. And the verse is speaking to that. So, what's my response according to John 3:16? I believe. What's the result according to John 3:16? I will not perish. And I'll have everlasting life. So the promise is, if I believe, though I'm perishing now and I don't have everlasting life, I will not perish, but I'll have everlasting life. That's the promise. You getting it? The next one, John 5:24. What's the condition over here that John 5:24 is speaking to? Okay, not hearing the word. Okay, I'm going to have judgment. And I have death. Okay? That's my condition. This verse speaks to that condition. What is my response to that verse? What's here? I hear the word of God. Okay, I hear. And I believe. And what's the result? I have eternal life, not be condemned, and I'm passed from death to life. I have life. Very good. Okay. The next one, Acts 10:43. I look at condition. I do not have remission of sins. This verse says, what must I do in Acts 10:43? Very good. I believe. When I believe, what do I get? Forgiveness. I get remission of sins. Okay, the next one, Romans 10, 9 and 10. That's a promise. Thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what must I be over here? Not saved. Okay? If I could, what do I do here? What's my response to that promise? What do I confess? As what? Oh boy, as Lord. He's going to be Lord of my life. That's why I didn't accept Jesus for a long time in my life. I wanted to be Lord of my life. I knew I should accept him as Lord, but I wanted to be in control of my life, and so I didn't do it. I told my wife, I said, Joyce, I'm not a Christian, and we want to get married someday. You're playing the organ in church, and you're not a Christian, I'm not a Christian, and we want to get married, and the Bible says Christians don't marry non-Christians, so you're going to have to become a Christian so I can marry you because I am going to become a Christian someday. I told her that. And I meant business. I was serious. Because I planned to become a Christian. But not now. Because I was living my life my way. And I was sport. Fun. I had my Model T. 1918. I paid $12 for it. On this door I had, don't laugh, your daughter may be in here. Written on this side. On the other side I write, slow down for a redhead, stop for brunettes, but back up for blondes. Okay? On the back of it, I put, don't pass, push. On the hood, I said, danger, 1,000 bolts. You know, I had this thing written all over, and I'd drive around, you know. Oh, we had a lot of fun. You know, play ditch'em and all this stuff, but I was doing my way. And my sister said, Harv, you know? And I said, I'm having too much fun. If I put my trust in Christ, I'm going to have to quit this nonsense, right? Right? And it had kerosene lights. You turn on, put kerosene in, light, kerosene tail light. When I was trying to ditch the cops, I had the guy reach over the convertible. He reached over the back and blew out the tail light so he couldn't see where I was going. You know, I mean, we had the deal. I was living my life. See, but I didn't confess him as Lord because I knew better. I confessed him as Lord. I'd have changed that. See? You know, and also you believe that Jesus, God raised him from the dead. And as a result of that, I'm saved. Now, I knew that before I was a Christian. But I didn't claim the promise. Okay. Now, in all of these, I'm claiming a promise to become a Christian. Just as you've received Christ as Lord, so walk ye in him. I received him as Lord by claiming a promise. So I'm going to now walk by claiming promises. Look at 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4. Gretchen, can you read his Bible?
By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire.
Okay. It says, whereby given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises I might become a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God says, Harv, I've given you buckets of promises. And it's through these promises that you're going to escape the corruption in the world. So I look at my condition now here. I have sin. Now I'm operating as I've received Him as Lord, and now I'm going to walk. I'm a Christian now down here. I'm a Christian. And so now I'm going to walk just like I received Him. How did I receive Him? By claiming a promise. I claimed a promise by meeting the conditions of the promise. Now I'm going to walk by claiming promises. I've sinned, so I have 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I memorize the verse. Memorizing the verse, does that do it? No. Does it help me? Yes. Well, I memorize the verse. Now, what do I do if I've sinned according to 1 John 1:9? I confess. I confess my sin. I say the same thing about my sin that God does. I confess my sin. Now, what does God promise in 1 John 1:9 if I confess my sin? I receive forgiveness and cleansing. So my sin, I don't have forgiveness over here. I'm not clean. This verse talks, and I can have forgiveness and cleansing. And I do that just like I received Him as Lord. I received Him as Lord by claiming a promise. Now I walk by claiming promises, whereby I given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these I become a partaker of the divine nature. Now my whole nature is changing because I'm claiming promises. Now Dawson Trotman got the idea on this, and he said to his pastor, he said, "Pastor, is there a promise for every condition in my life?" And the pastor looked at Dawson and he said, "I think there is, but I don't know him." And Dawson said, "I made a promise to God." Dawson said to God, "I will never get caught on the same condition twice. So if I've sinned, I find a promise that deals with the sin. And I memorize it, so the next time I have the answer." Okay? Dawson said, "I made a very small promise. It seemed. But he memorized 1,000 verses in a hurry. Because he memorized a verse on every condition that he came up with. So that he wouldn't have to." See, someone phone you up, and they know you know the Bible. Right? And so they phone you up and say, "I got this problem." And you look to your Bible and say, "Where does the Bible say that?" And you look up for the promise that meets the condition that this guy's got. So you get the promise for the condition, right? And you tell him. He's thankful a lot. He says, "I really like that." And he is very grateful. And he uses it, and he was so happy. You know, he just can't hardly stand it. Right? And then a month later, he does the same thing again. And he says, "Oh." And he remembers your telephone number, and he phones you again. And you say, "Oh, yeah." And you give him the same verse. He said, "Right, I forgot. Thanks. I really appreciate that." And he goes, "Yahoo! Yahoo!" And he's got the promise. And he claims it, and he's okay. And then a month later, he does the same thing. And he says, "Man, I don't have that verse." So he phones you. And you say, "Yeah, I got that." And you give it to him again. See? Now, how many times do you have to do that? You see? You following? But because you know the promise. Now, look at this. I meet a guy, and he says, "I have no peace." And I give him Isaiah 26:3. "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." I said, "Would you like to have perfect peace?" And he says, "Yeah, I'd like to have perfect peace." I said, "I got the answer for you. Right in the Bible." Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Now, am I going to be able to stand before God in the day of judgment and say, God, you made this promise and you didn't hold to it? Am I going to say that? No. If a guy doesn't have perfect peace, his mind isn't stayed on God, and he's not trusting God, according to that verse. That verse is God's promise. I didn't say it. God said it. So, what I do, I keep my mind on God, and I trust. And I have guaranteed perfect peace. That's what it says. Now, that might take me a long time to get my mind on Him the way it should be. I might have to memorize a lot of verses. I might have to do a lot of things to get my mind on Him. But if I can keep my mind on Him, according to this verse, and trust in Him, I will have perfect peace. Now, what we do is we have five verses called the assurance verses. And they're assurance verses. Assurance of salvation. 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that has Son hath life. And that's a promise that I can know that I can have life. And I can know that I have eternal life according to the promise. See? Then the next verse is assurance of answered prayer. So I know that I can have answered prayer. Now, people pray for stuff. See, I ask a guy, I say, would you give me some prayer requests? And you give me the prayer request, and one of them says, pray that I'll get up in the morning. I said, I can't pray that. I can't pray for him to get up in the morning. I have no verse in the Bible that says I can pray for him to get up in the morning. He's got to get up in the morning. I can't pray for him to get up in the morning. He says, pray for me that I'll pass my test in school. I can't pray that he'll pass his test in school. Give me a break. He's got to study to pass his test in school. I can't pray that. I can't even pray that he'll study. If you go through and look and see what prayer requests are and what ones you can really ask, you can save yourself a lot of time. That is true. I mean, people are asking for stuff that God doesn't say you should pray for. I want to pray according to God's promises, the Word of God, what He says for me to pray. Someone's not a Christian. I can pray that God will convict him of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. I can pray that on him. Because God says the Holy Spirit will do that. See, so I get verses that I can pray according to the Word of God. Just not praying everything. You follow that? Save me a lot of time and I get answers. I mean, it's just incredible. See, now, okay. Now, Colossians 2:6 says, as you've received him as Lord, so walk. I received him by promise. Now I'm going to walk by promise. So when I come up to a person and I say, hi, he's a Christian. I'm sitting around the table and I say, what promise did you claim when you became a Christian? And he says, what? And I say, what promise did you claim when you became a Christian? And he says, what's, are you from Mars? He doesn't know what I'm talking about. He has no clue. 99% of the Christians, can I ask him what promise you claimed? I don't have, they don't say, well, this is the promise I claimed. They don't even know. They don't even, now they claim the promise and they are Christians, no doubt. But they don't know what promise they claim. And when they, God says, prove yourselves, test yourselves whether you're in the faith. They have never tested themselves, they have never proven themselves, and they don't know. Now, is that pathetic or not? As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. I found out that I received Him as Lord by claiming a promise. So as I received Him, I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk by claiming promises. Okay? So I load my heart with the promises. I study the promises. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, all the promises of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. I learned that in the New Hebrides. I was going to the New Hebrides. This was the islands where they were cannibals. And I went there, and as I came into the dock, here stood some Christians from New Hebrides singing, every promise in the book is mine. And I was coming to them. Can you imagine that? But I came to them to teach them this. And they stood there and I drew the circles out and I had them stand here. You're a sinner. You haven't got your sins forgiven. Here's the promise. Move over to the promise. Okay, here's the promise. Now you determine whether or not you want to fulfill the condition. And I was in this room just full of black people with white teeth, and the windows were all covered with people that couldn't get in. And they were standing there watching me going through this. You know, it was terrific. I mean, it was outstanding. They just were jumping in to wanting to become, you know, claiming promises. And I went to Tonga, Samoa. I led the princess of Samoa to Christ. She's now the princess. And this is 20-some years ago, close to 30. She's now a princess of that place. And she became a Christian. I helped her to become a Christian. Talked to her dad, great big guy. And they had people come in there with the teaching school from the cults. And I talked to this, the king of the land, the leader of the land, big guy sitting in his chair. And I said, these people are coming, building the school, and they're teaching you people false doctrine while they're teaching you in school. And I said, they're going to end up with false doctrine. And he looked at me and he says, I like to think my people are smarter than that. That's what his answer was. And I said, well, I don't think they are, you know. But isn't it something? You know, and we've got to work there. We've got navigators in Tonga and Samoa. And they're from that group we started with way back then, claiming the promises. Now, is that terrific or not? Oh, man. So there, see, and they understood it. I was going to fly off of that island. And this guy I spent time with asked, can I ride in the taxi to the airport? And it was the dirt road from there to the airport. And I said, sure you can. Because he wanted a little bit more help. And he wanted, and I rode across, and it was about 15 miles to the airport. And he rode with me, and we just about got to the airport, and he tapped the taxi's shoulder. And he said, you can let me out here, sir. And he got out to walk back, because he wanted that time with me to get a little bit more of the word before I left. Now, is that incredible or not? Make you cry. No, I mean, but he got this. And he understood it. So he'd go for the promises. They took my eraser away. They took my eraser away. They took my eraser. They took my eraser. They took my eraser away. There, we've got a new... See, now we have a man that is observing. Now, Dawson Trotman tried to teach people to be observing. You'd walk in the house, and Dawson would be there, and he said, you notice a tree outside that was stunted in growth? You said, there was a tree outside? You know? and he was always getting people to think and observe. And this man observed when he came in here that they were serving napkins or Kleenex over there. And I didn't observe it. So he's ahead of me in the observing program, but I had had more years than he has at some things, so I'm still okay. Okay? I am not an artist at all. This is the pump illustration. That is a pump. When you have the valve down here and you pump it, water comes out. He has in his well 1 John 1:9. So when someone phones him and says, I have sinned, what do I do? This is the condition up here. I have sinned. And that fellow phones him and says, I've sinned, what do I do? He pumps his pump, pumpity, pumpity, pump, 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 pumpity, pumpity, pump, pump, pump. And up comes 1 John 1:9 up here, out onto the condition, and he gives him 1 John 1:9. Is that a good idea? Now the guy asked him, and he said, I don't love my wife, I am not kind. I am... He'll up here, he says, I am not kind. And he goes, pumpity, 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 pump, 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 pump. And he's got Ephesians 4:32 in his well. And he pump, and he pumps this up, and he gives him Ephesians 4:32. How to be kind. Now, I needed that in my life, and I was not kind to my wife, and I wanted to be kind. And Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So I looked at that, and I looked at 1 Corinthians 10:13. Anyone know 1 Corinthians 10:13? What's that say? Okay, that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Okay, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond you can bear, but will with the temptation make a way to... What does God promise there? That I'll be able to bear it. He said, you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, I'll be able to bear it. So that's a promise. This is the promise. And the deal is I can't bear it. I can't bear not being kind to my wife. And I say, I want to be kind to Joyce. But I'm not being kind to Joyce. And God says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted. And he says, I'll make a way to escape. I will make a way to escape. What's my response to that promise? I will make a way to escape. What's my response to that? Very good. I take the way to escape. So I want to be kind. And I want to take the way to escape. And this says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And the way to escape for me now is I look at that and I want to be kind. I look at God's answer. So I take Ephesians 4:32 into my bedroom. I've memorized it. And I take the verse and I put it down on my bed. And I kneel down before the verse and I say, Lord Jesus, I want to be kind to Joyce and I'm unkind. And you've promised me that there's no temptation taken me but such as is common to man, and you'll make a way to escape. And you've commanded, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And I want to be kind to Joyce, and I'm so unkind. So would you bring this promise and this condition here of Ephesians 4:32 to my mind just before I'm going to be unkind? So I have your exhortation before I'm going to be unkind. And I'll take that as my way of escape so that I don't sin against Joyce in being unkind. Would you bring that verse to my mind before I'm unkind? And I promise you, as you give me the strength, I'll do the kind thing and not the unkind thing. And Lord, I'd really appreciate that. And I get up. And I'm in my house walking around. And something happens, and I'm working with Joyce doing something, and I get a chance to be unkind. But that verse comes to my mind. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And I remember the promise I made in the bedroom on my knees. And I promised God that if He would bring that verse to my mind, I would do the kind thing as He gave me strength. So I said, thank you, Lord. I'll take the way to escape. I'll say no to sin and yes to God, and I'll do the kind thing. So I did that. And I'm telling you, I was thankful because now I'm kind to the one I love. I couldn't hardly stand it. I went back to the bedroom, put the verse on the bed again, and I said, Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing that verse to mind in answer to my prayer. And thank you for giving me strength to be kind to Jesus. To my wife, excuse me. And, Lord, it's going to happen again because I have a habit of being unkind. So would you do it again for me, please? And I get up. And I'm leaving. And I get a chance again to be unkind. And that verse comes to my mind. And I take the way of escape. First, he provide a way of escape. My way of escape is to be obedient to the verse and be kind, and I do it. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, but say no to sin and yes to God. And that's what I did. I said no to sin and yes to God. And I kept doing that. And I'd go back to the bedroom and put the verse again. And then I'd go back and live. And after about 3 months, it just helped me. You follow that? Now that's living according to the promises. Now if I want to be able to help somebody, I load my heart with the promises of God so that I can have the promises to walk by when I have conditions. And others can have the promises of God to live by when they have conditions. Okay? Now, are there questions on that?
So these promises are that we live by, walk by, those become part of our repertoire by scripture memory.
Yes. And by application. Okay. Now, do you have anyone ever come to you and say, I'd like to get to know God? Okay. Would you like to know God? Yeah. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So here's the deal. I want to know God. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Okay? So what is my response to this verse? He that hath my commandments and keeps them. So what am I supposed to do? Before I keep them, what do I do? I have them. So I get the commands, and then I keep them. Okay? I get the commands and keep them, and what does God promise to do? Show himself to me. So God shows himself to me. God manifests himself to me. If I get his commandments and keep them. So if I'm meeting with this gentleman right here, and I'm helping him get to know God, I help him do what God says. While he's doing what God says, what does God promise to do to him? Show himself to him. So that's a promise. So I know that. So when I'm discipling someone, I get them to do what God says. Now, when they're doing what God says, what does God say he will do? Yeah. Now, that guy doesn't have to understand it. When I was learning to walk as a one-year-old, I used the law of gravity. You know? And I learned to walk. I didn't understand the law of gravity at all. But it was working. Okay? Now, the fellow I'm working with doesn't understand that as he obeys, God's going to manifest himself to him. I'm not there yet with him. So I don't tell him that. But I say, before you were married, did you open the door of your car for your wife? You say, oh, yeah, didn't I? Buy her flowers? Oh, yeah. How long has it been since you opened the door for your wife? Oh, it's been a long time. I said, well, why don't you try it? Would that hurt you? And he said, no, I think it's a good thing. Bought her any flowers lately? No. I said, it'd be a good thing. Buy her flowers.
You've been talking to her?
You know, and he does that. Now, while he's doing that, what's John 14:21 say God will do? He that hath my commandments and keep them. Husband loves your wives. He's loving his wife. God says, I'll love him and manifest myself to him. So now, while he's opening the door, God manifests himself to him. While he's being obedient. Is that good or not? Now, that's not conniving, really. I mean, that's okay. See? Isn't that great? So as I'm working with this guy, I just get him to obey, 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 and God manifests himself to him. Okay. Are you doing okay with this? So that's in discipleship now, I teach a person to claim promises and walk according to the promises. See? Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. See? You follow that? We sing the song. And I say, what promise are you standing on? And how do you stand? Now the guy says, well, what do you mean by claiming promises? This is called the diamond illustration. You've never seen it. And out here we have the chain. And here I have choice. I have the choice in number three to respond. As I have the promise, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have a choice to confess my sin or not. If I confess my sin, then I get the results. Okay? So I make the choice, I make the choice to obey, and then I get the results here. And then God manifests himself to me. So as I make a choice, I respond by faith in the Word of God and in God's Word, and I respond by faith and I get the results in the chain illustration. I get the results of responding, and then God manifests himself to me. And as God manifests himself to me, I get a new condition. So I'm walking along here and I sin. So as I sin, I have a choice to confess my sin or not. So I confess my sin. By faith, I confess my sin. I get the results. I get forgiveness and cleansing. God manifests himself to me, and I get a new condition. I have another condition in life. See? And every time I get a condition, I look to a promise and see if I want to obey the promise and do what is necessary to walk by faith and get the results, and God manifests himself to me and I get a new condition. Now if I say no, I don't want to do that, I go down this way and I disobey and I don't do what God says. God doesn't manifest himself to me the way he did up here. See? And then I'm walking in the results, I get the results of disobedience first. And then God doesn't manifest himself to me like that. And then I get a new condition. So down here, I'm walking in disobedience. I'm not responding to the promise. I get the result of disobedience. God doesn't manifest himself. I'm not getting to know God like I should. And then I get a new condition. And I go down here. Remember Abraham and Sarah? They were disobedient. And they kicked out the handmaid. And she went out in the desert. And while she was out in the desert, she talked to God. And she said, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said, you go back and you submit yourself to Abraham and Sarah. And she obeyed God and she got this. And she, being the handmaid, went back and was obedient and got her situation where she was obedient to God while Abraham and Sarah were walking down here, and she submitted to them while they were walking in disobedience. And God blessed her. So I can be walking in obedience and submitting to people that are walking in disobedience and be okay. Now this here in James is works. See, you show me your faith without, and I'll show you, you know, without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. This is faith by works, but this is doing it. This is faith without works. He understands what he should do, but he doesn't do it. That's faith without works. Here's faith with works. People want to throw James out. This is faith with works. Now, I determine tomorrow what I'm going to be. People don't like that. People say tomorrow's already determined. Tomorrow isn't already determined. No way. I walked around here, I walked around this track out here a lot of times since I've been here. And you know why? Because I just don't want to go like this. If I don't walk around the track and I don't keep in shape and I become a couch potato, I'll be walking like this. Right? And I make the choice. It's up to me what I'm going to be tomorrow. And God doesn't even know what I'm going to be tomorrow because I haven't made up my mind tomorrow what I'm going to be today yet. And God, and what I do determines it. Now let me give you a good verse. Now I'm going to read this to you and it's going to really encourage you. This is Psalms. I mean, oh, by the way, I was asked about lordship in the meeting before. I was on my ship and I was standing off the deck and the guys came back. They paid $30 a month for a Japanese girl to live with them. And then they'd come back to the ship. 98% of the fellows on my ship had venereal disease. So it was a bad situation over there. And they would come up, and I was living for God. And they'd come up after being over there living with the Japanese girls all night. And they would come back in the morning, and they'd come aboard ship. And they would salute me, salute the fantail, and salute me, and get permission to come aboard ship. They come aboard ship. I was standing there as a Christian. They came aboard ship, and they got under conviction. This guy kneels down over here and starts to pray. This guy kneeled, and the whole quarterdeck got full. Everybody on that motorboat got up there, and they all knelt down on deck, 30, 40 guys, all kneeling down praying because they were convicted of sin. And I was standing there as officer deck, standing in as officer deck. The executive officer comes out. He was screaming, Cleman was easy, and he was a mad man. And he came out and he said, "Clear the quarterdeck." And nobody moved. Everybody was crying and praying. And he came over and he shook this guy. And he said, "I said clear the quarterdeck." And he looks up, tears running down his eyes, and he said, "You can't stop a man from praying." Okay? Next week, the guys went out and lived with their women. They did not know how to pray. They didn't know how to accept Jesus as Savior. They were convicted of sin and just praying. They didn't know what. And they went back to their sin. And they didn't have Christ as their Lord. See? Now, this is the verse on that. And I should have given it to you. Because Jerry White asked me about that last night. Listen to this. God says, "Turn up my reproof. I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. You have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity." That's God speaking. "When your fear comes and desolation, destruction, and whirlwind comes upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer." They were calling on God, but he wasn't answering. "They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." They were praying, but they hated knowledge and didn't choose. "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkens unto me will dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil." I didn't know whether these guys would toss me over the side of the ship or not. I wasn't sure. Because I knew my life was so convicting on them that they were in misery. And they knew that they could probably get rid of their misery by tossing me over the side. When we're out in the middle of the ocean someplace, 10 o'clock at night, and I'm around there walking with these guys, they could say, "We're tired of Soder home," over the side. And I'd be over the side. I couldn't help it. And so I made up my mind. I said, "Am I willing to go over the side for these people or not?" And I decided to be willing to go over the side. And I stayed there and shared Jesus with them. See, now listen to this one. This one, man. This says, "I am the Lord your God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it." A lot of people have memorized that one. The next one says, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel would have listened to me. I would have subdued their enemies and their adversaries. The haters of God would have submitted themselves to them, and they had had time forever. God says, they didn't hearken. I gave them up to their own lusts. But if they would have hearkened, they wouldn't have had it like it was. The Bible would have been written differently. The Bible would have been written differently if these people would have hearkened to God. He said, oh, that my people hearkened to me, I would have subdued their enemies. But they didn't hearken, and their enemies didn't get subdued. Now, that's the way it is. So what I do today is going to affect tomorrow. Now, the people tell me to Psalms 139. Have you ever heard of Psalms 139? And they take me to verse 16. And they say, all my life is preordained for me and written in a book. All the days that were ordained for me. That's one translation. Okay? I say, go to the Hebrew and see what it says and copy that down and rewrite it. It doesn't say that in the Hebrew. It doesn't say that at all. I'm working with a guy from Sri Lanka. He's a professor at the university, and we're using a Bible. And I say, why don't you use a Sri Lankan Bible? He says, the translation is poor. And I said, so you're using an American Bible? He says, that's right. Well, I said, the translation may not be that much better, but it's better. Now, if you go down and you take Psalms 139:16, and you go to the Interlineal Bible and you look at the Hebrew words, and you write those down, and then you write that verse out in your own words from what those Hebrew words are, I'll guarantee you it doesn't say to you that all the days are written in a book that were preordained for you. It doesn't say it at all. And that's not true. Now, most people won't study it and won't look it up. Isn't that incredible? That is incredible. Now, what you need to do, you don't believe me, study it for yourself. You know, because this person tells you that, this person tells you that, this person tells you that. So the biggest thing I have with working with business, you're a businessman? Okay, good for you. You have the seven laws of teaching? Good for you. That's a good book. Okay. So you follow this now. You want to do your own study. He's a businessman. You're busy. See, and I say, how do I get this businessman to take the Bible and do his own research? Now that takes time, time, time. Okay, our time is up. Talking about time. So you're a teacher. I mean, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be a teacher. I spent more time with students than I did, than their parents did. And I got to know them better. I coached them. I had them in chemistry, physics, math, biology. You know, we did all kinds of things together. And I knew them better. Half my homeroom became Christian. We just had great times. You know, I mean, wonderful things, you know. Man, give thanks. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time, for your goodness to us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have an outline that I made for this discipleship meeting that I didn't follow at all. And I'm going to give it to you. So you can take it home and figure it out. Okay? Because, I mean, I did it really pretty, you know. So this is the outline. You can have one apiece. You're okay. And we never covered it at all. But you can being a teacher, you can figure it out. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Good for you. Thanks for coming. You honored me with your presence.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Very helpful.
Did you follow this?
I did. Thanks.
Okay. By the way, I've got other of these deals. What did I do with them? Yeah, here they are. Do you want another one of these to copy? Did you write on yours? Okay, here's one. You can put that in your file, and then you can just duplicate it. Okay? Now, is that a simple illustration or not? Isn't that great? That was worth your time, even though we didn't get what we thought we were going to get. Illustration? My sister came up with that. My sister. Yeah, my sister came up with this, and she came up with a chain. Now, in the Design for Discipleship book series, book 4, chapter about 3, they have the chain illustration. But they have the chain illustration, I think, now with only 3 chains. They don't have my condition on it. So the person that did it, see? Now, have you heard of the pie illustration? By illustration, it says, it's a lordship illustration, really. They say, what's the center of your life? If you say your motorcycle, then all the other areas of your life relate to each other through your motorcycle. So how you spend your money on education, you check out your motorcycle. You know, and you run everything through what's in the center. So your decision-making process is whatever is in the center. So Romans 14:9. Jesus, God said, for to this end Jesus both died and was buried and rose again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. He wants to be in here. If he's in the center, then every decision you make will be related to each other as Christ wants. That's lordship. So lordship is having him in the center. Now, when I'm meeting with someone, I don't ask them to put Christ in the center. I do Bible study with him so that they get to know him well enough that they'll want him in the center. Now, it's not fair to ask someone to put Christ in the center if they don't know him. See, that's not right. So I get him to study the scriptures and put Christ in the center. Now, once he puts Christ in the center, now I'm able to help him with his character. Because I don't want to help him with his character all that much until he has Christ in the center. Because if he doesn't have Christ in the center, he's not going to make it. Because I'm asking him to do stuff that he's not able to have Christ help him do. And Christ isn't Lord, so he's trying to live this life with Christ as Lord and doesn't have Christ as Lord. So I help him to get Christ as Lord so I can work on his character. Now, after he's working on his character, then I help him to serve. And his character is such now that he can start to serve. So Jesus died and came and lived so that he could serve. He came to serve, see, you know, and Jesus served. Now, after he's learning to serve, then I help him understand suffering. So he knows what suffering is about. We have the fellowship of his suffering. And I help him to learn that. See, so initially I share the gospel. He's not a Christian. He becomes a Christian. Then I share the basics so that he can come to lordship. He comes to lordship, and as he comes to lordship, then we can work on character. And as we work on character, then I help him to serve, as part of his character. And as he serves, we help him to suffer for righteousness' sake and suffer for God and know what the fellowship of suffering of Christ is. My daughter was going to the Philippines as a missionary. I'm not sure how you turn this thing off. Some of this stuff probably best if people didn't hear.